Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. This is the place where we discuss the basic elements of karma and how our everyday actions affect our karmic paths.
Today we're going to be reading an excerpt from one of our latest books, Soul Evolution, Past Lives and Karmic Ties. And as we're approaching the holiday season, this makes a really great gift, especially for someone who's been questioning their life or is having an interesting time on their karmic path. So we hope you enjoy this book, and the sale of these books helps us to support the karmic path.
What is soul evolution? Our souls are comprised of many elements that shape who we are. This book discusses those elements and how they impact our soul's growth. These elements include karma, past lives, soul frequency, free will choices, soul purpose and soul mission, soul evolution status, current life experiences, and early childhood experiences. Do all souls evolve? Soul evolution means that we are all spiritual beings using our human experiences to evolve to higher and higher divine levels. The purpose of that human experience is to offer us theme and variation in the exercise of free will choices. Did we learn from each life lesson offered? If so, then theoretically we can all progress to higher and higher spiritual levels through the acquisition of experiences, the give and take of daily life, and embracing the humility of great wisdom. When we have acquired a predetermined level of wisdom and spiritual growth, we stop reincarnating on this planet. We graduate to the higher realms of the fifth dimension or the heaven world. That sounds pretty straightforward. But soul evolution is not a straight shot. We don't merely enroll in the first grade of spiritual school and automatically get promoted to the next higher level on some predetermined pathway. There is no place to apply to attend a spiritual university either, because free will is a powerful element that can take our spiritual pathway in a tremendous variety of directions. Free will is the fascinating variable in the wheel of eternal life. That concept sounded easy enough, right? Free will? You get to do what you want, right? But nothing in the misty land of anyone's spiritual path is that straightforward or that simple. How long does it take to evolve out of the reincarnation cycle? First, it is important to understand the time frame of soul evolution. First of all, time only exists on Earth. Time does not exist in the other dimensions because it's simply not necessary. This means that we have eternity to work on our spiritual path. Earth is such a perfectly powerful and plentiful schoolhouse because it offers us the time to experience life and the space in which to give meaning to that life. But time and space cannot exist without gravity. Earth is the ideal location because it can provide time, space, and gravity, the magic trio to offer us the precise setting for all the characters in the story of our lives to act out their roles life after life. But we don't have a script. We have free will in how we will respond to each page of experiences, encounters, traumas and joys that are presented to us over eons of Earth time. Each free will decision we make determines the next step on our path, but it is never so easy as simply putting one foot in front of another. Life, that glorious challenge, throws all kinds of unimaginable monkey wrenches in the seemingly smoothing, flowing gears of our path. Life is what happens to us while we're making other plans. And how we handle those other plans creates karma, and we karmically create what our next experiential opportunities will be, whether we are aware of the concept of karma or not. Each decision can elevate us, take us sideways, or cause us to regress. Each lifetime can offer numerous karmic lessons, but for our purpose, let us focus on one type of example: power over others. Power can take the form of a parent's power over a child, a boss's power over an employee, a criminal's power over a victim, or the power of life and death. Power over anyone in any situation is something with which we can all identify. The lesson to be learned is about the power one person has over another and the right use of power. Let us say in this life something terrible happens to you, physical or sexual abuse, or even spiritual abuse. Whoever did these things to you seems like the bad guy. You learn abuse of power from this person, and so now you abuse someone else because, well, isn't that what you're supposed to do? The way things were done to you? But here's the karmic lesson. You really hated what was done to you, yet now you do this, but your life isn't any better. The more people abuse you, the madder you get, and the more you abuse until finally, one day, karma collapses, and you end up either profoundly depressed, commit a terrible crime, or die an angry, bitter person. What is the lesson? Let's say you are physically and/or sexually abused, and you are hurt and angry. You are faced with a choice. Do you now abuse other people? Do you stay a victim? Or do you decide to face the pain, embrace the experience, and heal? Your abusers are your most profound teachers. Remove yourself from the emotion and look at the lesson. If you hear yourself saying that you just can't do that, then get some help. Find someone, find a teacher to help you embrace the lesson. Chances are, your abusers were themselves abused. And if you continue to be either an abuser or a victim, then the pattern continues for the next thousands of years or more. Imagine the tremendous power of changing a pattern for the positive and how that will echo out over the next 1,000 years. Soul purpose and life mission. What is your soul purpose for being here? Why are you here? What is the meaning of your life? Are a life mission and a soul purpose the same thing? Soul purpose can be something as simple as living past childhood. Soul purpose does not have to be something seemingly extraordinary on the surface. It can be so simple, yet so karmically critical for that person's soul evolution. Here are some examples of a soul purpose. Perhaps in a previous life, a person died in childhood at the hands of child abuse. In the next life, living through a childhood in an abusive family and through the years of therapy to understand that childhood could be the primary soul purpose for that person. Dying as a baby or a small child will offer all of your family members, as well as other people, this powerful experience of learning to work through grief, of learning on deeper levels the power and importance of love. The purpose of your death will be to offer you the understanding of the impact of your death on those around you. It may appear to be a simple, albeit hard-to-fathom life purpose, but it is nonetheless extremely powerful in its karmic ripple effect. Everyone around your death will be given an opportunity for spiritual growth. Working through health issues allows the soul an opportunity to more closely value their mortal bodies, to take a responsible look at what caused this to happen to him or her, and to work through this critically important issue. Perhaps in a past life, the soul abused his or her body. Their soul purpose in this life will be to honor the new body with respect and care. This alone creates a karmic lesson. The next life may offer this soul a much stronger and healthier body. A soul may have one or more difficult character traits that require adjusting. Some souls get a PhD from the school of hard knocks, as the saying goes, meaning that they make the same mistakes over and over. The goal in one life would be to address a stubborn attitude or the desire for abusive power over others or to learn how to stand up to oneself or stop being so submissive. Have you ever met a person who endlessly played mind games? Or another person who constantly was manipulating people for their own personal entertainment? It could be that that soul needed to see the harm he or she was causing, and it offers them the opportunity to learn to be more compassionate and humble. But the other purpose for this soul's existence would be to offer others the opportunity to stand up to their mind games and manipulation. Early childhood experiences offer us a lot of opportunities. Some babies are so desperately wanted by their parents that an entire family celebrates their birth. With super protective, hovering parents, this soul's purpose may be living with a smother love of controlling parents. Or, babies who are born with cancer, birth defects, mental challenges, or who die very early are all classic karmic balancing elements, which are hard for the families and people to understand. For example, when, and not if, a drug dealer reincarnates, he or she may be born to a drug-addicted mother and be addicted to drugs himself. This woman may not have the emotional or financial tools to care for this child, and the child could be placed in foster care. Consider the series of traumatic events that this seemingly innocent baby will experience so early in life. This karmic path can take this child down a dark hole, or he or she can embrace their soul purpose, which would be to overcome their rocky beginnings. Needless to say, the karma all participants earn in each issue is managed will further or hinder that person's karmic path and advance or regress their soul evolution. Some children are so adored from the moment of conception that they have the karma to enjoy a delightful childhood, richly embroidered with fascinating and happy experiences. Trauma never touches them. It is wise to consider that they've also earned this karma. However, their life purpose may mean that they are faced with other far more tremendous karmic challenges later in life, and they needed the stability of that calm childhood to give them the foundation to face those later difficulties. These challenges may mean that this soul has a more profound and spiritually or karmically advanced lessons to learn. This may be one of their soul purposes. Child abuse may also be karmic. A child's presence offers an adult the karmic free will opportunity to abuse or not to abuse. If the adult chooses to abuse a child, then this will determine a great deal both about the child's and the adult's karmic path. At some point, the child may stand up to the adult, as the woman did in this example. My father beat me every day. He beat my baby sister so badly that she developed permanent brain damage. I remember the day he did that. My sister was screaming and screaming, and I was crying so hard, begging him not to hurt her, and my mother was just standing there. She did not try to stop him. Finally, my sister stopped crying. Only later did I realize that he permanently brain damaged her. Then my father beat me for crying. He beat me so hard that he always left large bruises. When I was in school, my teachers tried to intervene, but my mother stopped them, saying that it would be worse. My mother would sometimes leave him, but she always returned. When I would sit sobbing in pain on the floor, she would stand over me and tell me that I must have deserved it. I loved her, but how could she do this to me? Finally, I grew to be 6 feet tall, and he couldn't beat me anymore because I fought back. I survived him, but I want to kill myself every day. Was fighting back her karmic test? Was surviving childhood part of her soul purpose? This woman sought out psychological and spiritual help, and she did not kill herself, surmounting a huge karmic challenge. She also learned that although her father beat her, the far worse abuser was her mother. This revelation, this insight, may have been a huge step on her karmic path and possibly helped her to have a better life in the future. She began to learn the lessons of those parents. Eventually, she married a wonderful man, became a mother, and was the kindest and most loving mom. Effectively, she changed her karmic path and her family pattern, exhibiting the courage and the determination to understand her family on multiple levels. She evolved to a new level. Her sole purpose may have simply been to survive those parents and to learn from them. This simple statement is profound on so many levels. Karma created in this life. Every moment we are alive builds on the next moment. This statement is not made to create paranoia within us, but to awaken us to be conscious of, and to be responsible for our actions. The Karma of Service. Karma certainly did not waste energy with this memorable experience of the story below. I've been on the police force for 5 years now, and police work is very hard. Every single day, you see the worst of humanity so many times, and often you see people when they are going through the worst day of their lives, and yet you have to be kind, compassionate, and detached. I try to help, but sometimes I wonder about people. Am I making a difference? I wanted to protect and serve, you know, like it says on the side of my patrol car, but sometimes I feel abused by the public, and yet they call on us when there's a crisis, a domestic abuse, or accident. I had no idea this job would be so hard, and I wonder sometimes if it's worth it. Service actions create karma whether the person realizes it or not. Yes, you met someone on the worst day of their life, and you did help. You did help that person out of a burning car. You did stop that drunk driver, even if you threw up on your shoes. In every moment you gave your best, you maintained your ethics and you upheld your job. You also will have garnered the deeper insights about yourself. And if you have any depth of self-awareness, you will have faced many soul purpose lessons, embraced them, worked through them. Did that domestic abuse case remind you of your parents? Was that child abuse case reminiscent of how your neighbors treated their kids? But now you can help. Now you can make a difference in the lives of those people. Yes, even when you leave, people will still be perpetrating terrible things against one another. But for the people you've helped, their lives are better, and the positive karma you created for yourself will be of tremendous value in the next life or even later in this life. Karma never wastes the energy of any moment. Every action, gesture, comment, or non-action creates some level of a ripple effect. The more conscious you are of those effects, the more you will positively affect your karma. How much karma can you create for your future if you die early? Listen to the following true story. He was just 26 years old, and I can't believe how this happened, you know? He had just come back from Iraq, served 2 tours, and he got out of the army. He said he'd have enough of the killing and the horror over there. And I told him, I'm glad you're home. He said he wanted to do things that helped people here, and he was staying with me looking for a job. One Saturday, he was in the park walking my dog when he saw this man smacking a little boy around. The kid was about, I think he said about 8. And then my Leroy, he walked up to the man and he asked him to stop and said it wasn't the right thing to do to a little kid. The man left real angry. The child said that the man was his mama's boyfriend and he hated him. My son befriended that child and they would meet every afternoon to toss a ball around. The little boy started to laugh and smile a whole bunch more. And then one day, that boyfriend of that child's mama came back and started beating that boy again. Leroy asked him to stop. The next thing that happened was that this thug pulled out a revolver and shot my son straight through the heart, right in front of that child. Then he calmly walked away, cool, like no one would tell him what to do. That's what the witnesses said to the police. I am so heartbroken. If my son had died in Iraq, he would have been a hero. But he died here, murdered, and no one thinks he's a hero. But he was a hero to that child. He did die in the service of his country, and heroes do not always wear a uniform. One of his main soul purposes may have been to die in the service of another, whether it be here or in Iraq. The karma he created for standing up for that child, even though he died in the process, earned him tremendous positive karma. He changed that child's life, and since there were so many witnesses to that premeditated murder, that murderer went away to serve life in prison. The energy of this man's sacrifice didn't need a medal, a uniform, or even recognition, because karma always recognizes the service and sacrifice one person gives to another. How do we know there are past lives? When Tina was a child, her mother was watching an Art Linkletter show. He had as a special guest a family from India, and this is their story. It seemed that almost from the day she was born, their youngest daughter was trying to return to a different home. She learned to speak early and eagerly spoke of a life in another part of India. And as the story emerged, she described in great detail her husband, her children, her home, and her desire to return to this family. They needed her. She left them too soon. No amount of consoling helped or lessened her desire to go back to them. Finally, when she was 5 years old, she begged so insistently that her entire current family journeyed to this other part of India to find this past life family. She accurately described the part of the country they entered before she got there. She gave the exact directions to her past home, and her excitement grew as they came up to the house. Her father knocked at the door of the home of his daughter's past family. A man answered the door. A little girl ran to him and called him by name and told him how much she had missed him and asked about all of her children, whom she also accurately called by name. The homeowner was astonished, for he had never seen the child before. This little girl's father explained to the man the circumstances of how they came to the door, and they were all invited inside. This past life husband asked the little girl if she knew how his wife died, and she said yes, correctly, by pneumonia. He asked her about details of each of the children, and she got all the answers correct. Finally, the past life husband said that the true test of her identity as his previous wife would be if she could locate the jewels his wife hid just prior to her untimely death. The little girl went directly to the backyard and dug them up. The past life husband was finally convinced that this child was the reincarnation of his wife, who had been dead for about 6 years. Laura tells the story of when her then 6-year-old daughter went window shopping. They came across an Eastern import store. All of a sudden, my daughter stopped and stared inside. She asked if we could go in, and I told her, of course. She became unusually quiet. She looked at a display of Tibetan prayer flags and in an almost trance-like state said, "I used to hang these up when I lived in Tibet." The shopkeeper and I just looked at each other. My daughter then went on to tell me about the myriad of icons, Kuan Yin, Buddha, the different types of Buddha statues and what they meant. She talked about how hard her life was in Tibet, but that she loved every moment. She talked about how she would carry buckets of water to her home every day. She also told me that I was her mom in that lifetime too. And then she started to cry. She became so overwhelmed with a sense of homesickness for a life in a land that I had no recall. In fact, I don't think she'd ever heard the word Tibet in her current 6-year lifetime. I knew my daughter was recalling a powerful past life experience. Why don't we all remember our past lives? Well, think about how many times people say, "If only I had it to do over again, I surely would handle this differently." Or, "I would do this," or, "I would do that." What each of them is really saying is, "If only I had a second chance." Well, we all get a second chance, and a fifth chance, and a 20th chance. This is called reincarnation. When we are born, a veil comes down that causes us to forget our past lives. We are then given the opportunity to do it over with a fresh slate, meaning that we are presented with almost all the same circumstances that led us to make a poor choice in that past life. We are then given a choice. Will we do the same thing over again? Will we repeat the pattern? Or will we change our future by doing something completely different? This is the point of the karmic path, the opportunity to try again and again. Human beings come in as imperfect souls seeking wisdom through the process of experience, understanding that this will hopefully give us the necessary insight to be different, think differently, act creatively, and break that often centuries-old pattern. The lessons of the masters: we are immortal, life everlasting, soul evolution in karmic time. Reincarnation is the concept that we live forever, that we return to God, that we are reborn again and again to experience spiritual growth. If we believe that God is just and that the divine does exist, then we must also look at Christ's concepts of life everlasting as a reality. We know that Christ referred to life everlasting. Perhaps we've all wondered how much time is everlasting. Is the concept of everlasting another way of karmic time? is the process of achieving the awareness of a karmic lesson, the meaning of being in the karmic moment. We hope you've enjoyed these excerpts from Soul Evolution, Past Lives, and Karmic Ties, and we encourage you to check out this book and other books at thekarmicpath.com and on Amazon. Thank you for taking a walk with us on the Karmic Path today. We appreciate your listening and would love to hear from you. Please send all questions to questions@thekarmicpath.com.